This is the World Music Show, and I'm Mark, and I'll be the host for the first portion of the show today, and then Jose is going to take over and play music for you. But first, I wanted to introduce Varsha. She's from the Navrang Show, which is on Saturday mornings here on KTRU, and she's going to tell us about a Hindustani vocal artist that is coming to Houston this Sunday. So, Varsha, what can you tell us about the artist that we're going to be hearing?
The artist that's going to be here is Shubha Mudgal. First, let me introduce you to the music, the Hindustani vocal music. Hindustani music is also known as a North Indian music or Shastriya Sangeet, and is one of the two main parts of Indian classical music, one being Carnatic and the other is North Indian or Hindustani music. The Carnatic, which belongs to the south of India. And the artist, Ms. Shubha Mudgal, she has received training from some of the finest musicians and musicologists in India. And she's initially trained as a khayal singer by Pandit Ram Ashraya Jha. And then she also received training in Thumri from Guru Srimati Naina Devi, and is one of the most versatile and popular performers among the new generation of Hindustani musicians. So she's going to be here on Sunday, November 2nd at the Stafford Civic Center, Stafford, Texas.
And I was going to say we should let listeners know that this is a recorded interview that we recorded on the phone, and this artist was touring. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. She's right down in California.
Okay. Should we start the interview then?
Yeah, we should. And right. If you need more information regarding the events, it's at navrangktru.blogspot.com. Right. Navrangktru is one word, navrangktru.blogspot.com.
And following the interview, we'll give that web address again, and we'll also let you listen to a sample of the singer again.
Today we have with us India's Padma Shri Award winner, Shubha Mudgal. Shubhaji, welcome to Rice Radio.
Thank you very much.
To understand the music of India, please do not mind if I ask you a few basic questions regarding Hindustani vocal music.
Yes.
It will be like an education class for us. So, you are a well-known Hindustani vocal artist.
Yes.
Kindly introduce us to your music.
Well, basically, I'd like to point out that there is no one kind of Hindustani vocal music in India. So, when you say Hindustani, it actually refers to a system which could be called classical or art music. And when you say Hindustani, it also refers to what is known as Northern India. Although the system of music itself is quite popular even as far south as Karnataka. But it is generally called Hindustani classical music. And the two styles that I have been studying for several decades now are called Khayal and Thumri Dadra. These use the system of ragdari or rag music, and one of the salient features is the fact that it uses a lot of techniques that that help you improvise and elaborate on a basic melodic and rhythmic theme. So it's a theme and variation kind of process, and you learn several rules about the rag, tal, the song text, about how to elaborate using different musical techniques and devices. And so I would say that the hallmark is that there is a theme which is presented to the listener through a short composition set to a rag and tal, and then the singer's virtuosity, led by the singer's virtuosity, the artist then keeps elaborating on that basic theme.
So, in a hypothetical situation, if this was your very first class to Americans, what would be your very first lesson in the North Indian music, and how would it go? What was the first thing a person would learn?
I think, I don't really have a formula that I could give, because in the same way that the music is interpreted differently by different people, listeners also react to it with different responses. So it's really very difficult to come up with a formula that could work with audiences that are perhaps not initiated into Indian music. But I would just say that if they could listen closely and discover for themselves the theme, then I'm sure that it would be possible for them to also note the deviations from the theme and the variations that are being presented by a singer. I think if they can just try and discover the basic theme, that would be quite enough, because I know that other styles in the West also use the theme and variation technique, for example, jazz.
Mm-hmm. So, Shivaji, you have your expertise in Khayal, Tumri and Dadra. Could you sing a few lines for us and of each one of them and explain the difference between them?
Will I'm it really be sorry, that's really not possible, because it's sung as an ensemble, it's presented as an ensemble, and it would be I would be giving an inaccurate picture of it if I were just to sing. So it's not really something that you can hum out in the open, or, you know, just while you're sitting all alone, although we do hum and sing, but it wouldn't give an accurate picture of what is to be presented. There is always a drone of a tanpura. It is usually accompanied by sarangi, a harmonium and tabla, and I'm very happy to tell you that I'm on this tour of the United States. I'm accompanied by three of India's very, very well-known musicians, Anish Pradhan on the tabla, Sudhir Nayak on the harmonium, and Murad Ali on the sarangi. So all of these people will be accompanying me in concerts as well.
Mm-hmm. So when you practice in the mornings, when do you practice? Is it mornings, early mornings? And so you have your tanpura with you, along with you?
Yes, I do have my tanpura with me, and which often leads to my having to pay excess baggage on all flights here. but yes, I don't practice only in the mornings, but basically since music has been my full-time occupation for many, many years now, I don't sing only in the morning, but I think I work with music almost through the day, which doesn't mean that I sing for 18 hours or anything like that, but it means that I'm involved in working on some aspect of music making, whether it's listening or reading or perhaps teaching or perhaps practicing only a certain thing. I mean, it goes on throughout the day.
I understand both your parents had great liking for Hindustani music and dance. Is that the reason why you chose this style of singing?
My parents were very, very fond of the arts and had a great respect for the arts in general. And so I was encouraged to be involved in learning, but there was no pressure on me to prove that I could be a performer. Basically, it was just part of my upbringing to respect the arts and to involve and engage with the arts and to see how life could be enriched by your engaging with the arts. So I did start, they gave me the opportunity to study music and dance. And over the years, there was unconditional support for me, always from them, and my mother still continues to. I mean, my family really has been a great support for me. But there was never really any pressure to start performing. However, once I made the decision myself, with the help of my parents, who actually sort of suggested to me that I should take a year off after graduating to see whether I wanted to pursue academics or to start studying music full time, and that's an unusual suggestion to come from parents in India, and that too many, many years ago. I think I'm talking of about 25 to 30 years ago. So they were really very, very supportive, and for that reason, yes, I could, without any problems, I could arrive at the decision that I wanted to do music. But at no point were they saying, okay, so when are you going to start performing? When are you going to be on TV? When are you going to be on radio? Nothing, no pressures like that.
Mm-hmm. And as a young girl, you also learned Kathak dance, as you mentioned.
As a very little girl.
Yeah, why did you lose interest in dancing?
I still enjoy watching, but I think as part of Kathak, one of the things that is taught to a Kathak dancer is to be able to sing, especially the style known as Tumri. And great dancers of Kathak and great maestros of Kathak, like Pandit Birju Maharaj, are known for their being able to sing and do abhinay on Tumri as well. So when I was being taught that, I discovered that while I could sort of basically sing a line tunefully, I didn't really know the the vocabulary and the grammar of the system. And therefore, apart from being able to sing a few lines tunefully, there was really nothing more that I was able to do. So my mother suggested that I should take up vocal music. And once I started, it was really like quite an obsession. I was so drawn to it, and I was so completely immersed in studying vocal music that it was, I don't even know when, I mean, there was really no one moment, one decisive moment when I said, now I'm giving this up and doing vocal music. But really, it seemed to be the perfect direction that I wanted to take, and I haven't ever regretted the decision.
Okay. Shivaji, you have many gurus or teachers. Starting from your very first guru, Pandit Ram Shreya Jha, followed by Pandit Vinay Chandra Moudgalya, Pandit Vasant Thakur, Pandit Jitendra Abhisheki, Srimati Naina Devi, and Pandit Kumar Gandharva. Yes. Why so many gurus?
Well, this is not unusual, you know. I mean, everybody talks about the fact that that it's quite a long list of great teachers whom I've had the opportunity to learn from. But, you know, I mean, changes, going from one teacher to the other has happened with other, and from one style to the other, has also happened with many other musicians. The fact remains that I moved from Allahabad, where I was studying with Pandit Ram Ashray Jha, and I moved to Delhi in the early 80s. And it was not possible for me to keep going back to Allahabad, although I continue to study with Pandit Ram Ashray Jha even today. So for a while, for about 8 years, I studied with Pandit Vinay Chandra Moudgalya. While I was studying, I was being trained with him, by him, I also wanted to learn Thumri. And he was kind enough to request Srimati Naina Devi to teach me. So, because he himself did not specialize in Thumri. And so Naina Devi ji very kindly, very generously accepted me as a student. And that's how I learned from several people. During my stay at the Gandhar Mahavidyalaya and when I was being trained by Pandit Vinay Chandra Moudgalya, the Gandhar Mahavidyalaya, which is a big school for music which he set up in Delhi, several visiting artists would also come, including Pandit Jitendra Abhisheki and Pandit Kumar Gandhar. And they were, again, very generous and taught me. And the only thing that I can do for these people is to acknowledge with undying gratitude that I had the opportunity to learn from them. So when I mention all their names, it is with great, I feel that I was really blessed to have had the chance to learn from these great people. And that's how I came to learn from so many wonderful maestros.
Okay. In the earlier conversation, you said like the Hindustani vocal or the North Indian music, you compare it to jazz. So is that one of the best comparison, or you think actually there is no comparison? It was just a way of you, giving an example. This is what it would be like.
So, no, at any point sounded like Hindustani classical music is like jazz, then I was inaccurate, I have to say. But I was talking about the fact that we use the theme and variation technique, mm-hmm. and that certainly is, to a large extent, common to both. But the manner in which the theme and variation technique is actually implemented is quite different in both systems, in jazz and in Hindustani classical music. So this is just one way of talking about the theme and variation. It's not unique only to India. But the way in which it is done and the rules and parameters within which we elaborate, that is quite different in both systems.
Okay. This is KTRU Houston, 91.7 FM. We are in conversation with India's Padma Shri Award winner, Shubha Madgar. Shivaji, in a recent Fall 2008 Rice Radio Folio, I wrote an article about Diwali Ben Bill, who is also a Padma Shri Award winner.
Yes.
And along with you, she's on the Man Ke Manjire album.
Yes.
Tell me more about making of this Man Ke Manjire, means that's a jangle of the heart.
The manjira, of course, is a musical, is a percussion instrument. And basically, this album was about songs that express the dreams and desires and aspirations of women in India. And so, in a sense, it was the sound of the music from their hearts. And that's why it was called Man Ke Manjire. It was a project that I'm really very proud to have associated with. And it was... It was produced by an organization now based in New York called Breakthrough. Breakthrough's idea was to use popular culture to give a social message. And this, I think, was one of their first projects where they approached a lot of creative people in India, songwriters, music composers, artists, musicians, vocalists, to write songs and record them for an album called Man Ke Manjire. And I was lucky to be invited to sing 5 of the songs. I'm also very, very proud that on the same album, some of, you know, India's most wonderful women performers were also featured, like Diwali Ben Bheel or Rukma Bai from Rajasthan. And the songs that I got to sing focused on various issues that are associated with women. For example, domestic violence. Or for example, the independence to make your own choices about your career and profession. So if you've seen the video of Man Ke Manjire, the music video that went with Man Ke Manjire, it was beautifully done, and it was based on a true life story of a woman called Shamim Pathan, who is a woman from Gujarat, who went through a very bad marriage, but was able to come out of very trying, very hard circumstances to make her own decision to live her life the way she wanted to. And she chose to be a truck driver. She drives a matador in Gujarat. And while it's quite common for us to see women performing many, many functions in the United States, it isn't very common to see a woman driver of a truck in India. And so this music video was based on that true life story, and was just one of the songs that was featured in the album, which, as I said, I'm very, very happy to have associated with.
Mm-hmm. So, for Man Ke Manjire album, Diwali Bhain specifically picked Saurashtra Kharwa's community's 200-year-old song called Aiva Aiva.
Yes.
And like as you said, you have 5 songs. And so, did you choose them on your own, the songs that you sang?
Oh, no,
because
no.
The title song was by you, right? The Man Ke Manjire?
No, I was just one of the many women artists who sang on the album.
Mm-hmm.
So these decisions were not mine, you know. So I wasn't really picking or choosing.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the artists involved. And because I had been with the project since almost its inception, I was part of the team that, you know, sort of talked about what kind of themes to choose. Or, you know, who can we invite? But I was not in these decision-making positions.
Okay.
I was just one of the creative team who threw up suggestions. But the decision on how and whom and what to do were taken by the music director,
okay.
Who in this case was Shantanu Moitra, and by the producer, a wonderful woman called Mallika Dutt, who founded Breakthrough. So it was both of them who really decided on which song and how to arrange it. I was just one of the 3 or 4 people who gave many suggestions.
Okay. So will it be hard for you to sing one of the songs from there, or is it, again, you need some musical instrument with it?
Yes, because otherwise it's not really, you know, I mean, it doesn't give an accurate picture. So, and I'm sure you have the CD, don't you?
Actually, we do not. Unfortunately, we do not have the CD, but I have heard the songs. And one of my favorite from your selection was Marty.
I like that too.
Yeah,
that is really one of my favorites, yes.
Yeah, so
I'll send you a copy of the CD then.
Oh, I will appreciate it, really. Further I wanted to ask you was, you have composed music not only for dance and ballets, but also for films. Explain to us your transition from a versatile and celebrated Hindustani singer to Indian pop singer and a music composer.
Well, I don't really know if there's a, you know, if I can trace a transition. I think at some point most artists who are doing Hindustani classical music also start composing a few pieces, or some more prolifically. And I don't know really when this started happening, but I'm always drawn to poetry, and particularly poetry from classical texts or medieval texts. And I noticed that a lot of the Khayal and Thumri compositions borrowed from various sources. As I started reading Hindi poetry and Braj Bhasha poetry, I could see that, for example, some khayal compositions were taking from temple texts from the Vallabh tradition. Others were borrowing from even Kabir. For example, there's a beautiful dadra sung by Siddheshwari Ji which says, Tadpe bin Balam Morajiya. And then I found the same line in a Kabir Das poem. So she hasn't taken the entire poem or pada, but she has taken the first line and a few other lines, Tadpe bin Balam Morajiya. So obviously all these poetic texts there is this tradition of borrowing from them to create compositions in for Khayal and Thumri Dadra compositions. And I think at some point the poetry itself was so beautiful that I felt almost compelled to try and sing it. And then I started attempting a few compositions, which is how it all started. So I don't really compose much for films because currently mainstream Indian cinema, I don't think I could compose for that because I don't see myself being able to do that. But for Khayal, Thumri Dadra, for projects of, where I can collaborate with other people, I've collaborated with several people and it's been a wonderful opportunity to see how I can, my training, my basic training in classical music has helped me, in a sense, enrich my own study of music when I collaborate with other people.
One of the questions that, usually people ask me about when they refer to Indian classical music, why are the tracks so long? Each track, runs for around at least 15 to 20 minutes. What's the reasoning for that?
Well, the biggest reason for that would be the reason that I gave you right in the beginning. If you have to show your virtuosity, and if you have to first establish a theme, and then show how you can create variations of that theme. Now, what happens in a normal, in a hip-hop, pop kind of track, it goes on for about 4 or 5 minutes, and that's basically an establishing of a theme. So if you need to then show how you are deviating from that theme, you do need more time, don't you? Mm-hmm. And then the pace, since we don't sing only in one pace, you will, of course, know that there are different khayal compositions, some of which are extremely slow-paced. And therefore, just establishing the basic composition itself could take over 5 minutes. And then if you want to create, improvise on those, then again, because it's slow-paced, you would need a fair amount of time. But I'd also like to draw your attention to the history of recorded music in India. Remember that in the 78 RPM era, the greatest masters of Hindustani classical music were able to condense their recordings into 3 and 5 minute recordings. So if you'd pick up a 78 RPM record, you'll hear the greatest singers singing you an encapsulated version in 5 minutes, or sometimes they would sing on both sides of the 78 RPM record, and that would amount to 8 to 10 minutes or 11 minutes. But many of them sang short, encapsulated versions, and we are all also able to condense our own performances when we perform, let's say, on radio. So ideally, the tracks would go on for a long time, not just 15, 20 minutes, but a good exposition could go on for 45 minutes to 1 hour or even more. But we are all also able to encapsulate our renditions.
Thank you for explaining that in detail, because this was one of the questions that, many of us, radio DJs at Rice have asked me many times.
Yes.
And you are actively involved in promoting the cause of music. Could you throw some light on this venture?
I guess, again, it's impossible to be involved, to be working in a field and then not be involved in other activities that would help music and musicians. Or the community of music and musicians that we work with. And I can't really say that, that I've done something extremely unique. But yes, like all other artists, we are concerned about the welfare of the community, and we are concerned about the atmosphere of music making, both in India and elsewhere. And therefore, it becomes necessary to also participate in several activities that would finally make life a better place for musicians to be working in. And as a result, my husband Anish Pradhan and I decided about 5 years ago to set up a small internet label. I do not know how many music lovers in the United States would know that hardly any new, freshly commissioned recordings of Hindustani classical music, folk music, religious music, tribal music, hardly any new recordings are coming out in India. Most record labels are staying away from commissioning recordings and publishing and distributing recordings of anything other than mainstream Bollywood music. So you have wonderful artists, many of whom are touring all over the world, who are performing in India as well, but you don't get good professionally produced recordings of these artists. And this is not just the case with classical music. It's also the case with, let's say, rock bands coming up in India. It's also the case with, let's say, something even as popular as Qawwali. It's also the case with, let's say, things like Kirtan, etc., folk music. So in 2003, we decided that we would set up a small internet label, an independent label that would create a space for all people working with Indian music, Indian musicians, as well as non-Indian musicians working with Indian music, to share their work in any format, whether it was in audio format or video DVD format or print material. It would give them a small space, an alternate space, to share their work with music lovers on their own terms and conditions, not on terms and conditions imposed by record labels. So our agreement with artists is that here's an internet space. You decide what you would like to share, and yes, we will certainly have editorial policy, but it is for you to decide how long the track should be, whether you want to do only a single or whether you want to do an entire album, what you should price it at, and what are the terms on which you want to share it with people. And all artists and producers retain all rights. We never become copyright holders. We never ask for exclusivity, because the purpose of setting up this forum was not to become masters of lots and lots of recordings, but basically to create a space where artists should not have to bother about giving up their rights. So we set this up, and I'm happy to say that the response has been wonderful. A lot of people from the United States, Indians living in the United States, as well as non-Indians interested in Indian music, regularly order music, books, all kinds of material from our website.
Mm-hmm. It definitely seems like a good cause, and a lot of hard work has been put into it.
And if you do have the time, please do visit the site.
Yes, I will. Definitely. And I think also many of the Rice Radio listeners will also visit. What's the website? Could you tell us?
Yes, it's called www.underscorerecords.com. And underscore isn't the symbol, but it's the full word. So it's underscorerecords.com.
Mm-hmm. Shivaji, you'll be here in Houston. And what should we expect from you? What kind of music?
I've been invited to sing semi-classical music. So it will be primarily a concert of Thumri Dadra.
Mm-hmm.
And the associated seasonal song forms that most Thumri singers also learn and present, such as, let's say, Chaiti, Hori, Baramasa, etc.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So hopefully you can listen to one of my favorite, which is a devotional one, which you have, Hamam Hai Ishq Mastana.
Yes.
That's a very beautiful number.
And I'm so glad you enjoyed it. It's really, that Kabir verse is such a beautiful one.
Mm.
It certainly is one of my favorites too.
Yeah, and the way you sang it, it's like, oh my gosh, it's an ethereal feeling.
Thank you so much.
Mm.
In fact, you'd be happy to know that even the audio engineer who recorded that album is with us on tour. So he has agreed to come with us because he has been working with me. His name is Tanay Gajjar. And he has been working with me for many, many years, and he's one of India's best audio engineers, and we felt that it would be good to have his expertise on this tour. So he's also handling sound for this particular concert tour that we're doing.
So
Jay Shubhaji, we sincerely thank you for your time and look forward to attend your concert to experience a variety of Indian music that you will bring in our night.
Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to speak with you and to your listeners.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Happy Diwali.
Oh, happy Diwali to you too.
Thank you.
Bye. So listeners, if this music interests you or if you simply want to experience something different, India's Padma Shri Award winner Shubha Mudgal will perform on Sunday, November 2nd at the new Stafford Civic Center, Stafford, Texas. For more information, you can visit the Navrang website at navrangktru.blogspot.com. Navrang Ketru is one word, navrangketru.blogspot.com.